going to be reading in the 10th chapter of the book of John, continuing talking about Jesus and the amazing things that he done leading up to Easter. So in John chapter 10, the verse 11 is all we're going to be reading this morning. It says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you've blessed us with this morning. There's a lot of things that are on our hearts and our minds that we know that we can bring to you in prayer and know that you'll hear our prayers and answer those in your time. We pray for Pastor Grant this morning as he starts a revival at Fairview, that you'd bless him and that church and the lost souls that are there, that they might be saved. Bless this hour of service that's set before us, Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would anoint each and every one of us as you come through and speak to our hearts. Lord, I understand the strict judgment upon my life of rightly dividing your word, and I accept that responsibility this morning, and I pray for your guidance and your leadership in everything that's said and done this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm trying to scoot this. There we go. Don't feel so. So, Jesus is the good shepherd. Okay, could everybody say it? Jesus is the good shepherd. Everybody, Jesus is the good shepherd. Out of this whole message today, that's what you need to remember, that Jesus is the good shepherd. Because without Jesus, none of this is possible. And we need to remember that. So we all, throughout life, we all need guidance. From day one, we've all needed guidance. When I was a baby, I needed someone to feed me and to change me. Well, I'm an adult, and I still need somebody to change me and to feed me and all that stuff. Thank you, honey, for always being there to support. But we need guidance throughout life. In decisions that we make, when we're at work and maybe we just got a new job, when we're in school, we need guidance. Everybody can agree that throughout life we need to be guided and taught in directions in what we need to do in life. So guidance is very important. And to remember, we want you to remember that Jesus is the good shepherd. So this morning, if you know the good shepherd, the thing that you got to do, are you listening to the good shepherd? And are you following the good shepherd? Okay, so it's important. You may say, well, yeah, I know it, but are you listening to him? And are you following him? That's a big, big responsibility for us in our Christian life, is to make sure that we listen and that we follow what the good shepherd is saying. And like a shepherd, Jesus was concerned for the welfare and the care of the sheep. You guys agree that Jesus was ultimately concerned with you and I. When he came here, he was concerned about you and I. That's why he ultimately came. But Jesus is the good shepherd. There's four things that I want you to remember about the good shepherd this morning. Here's four things that are very, very important. The good shepherd guides. The good shepherd provides. The good shepherd corrects. And the good shepherd protects. Okay, so he guides, provides, corrects, and protects. We need to remember that throughout this service, that he's going to guide us, he's going to provide for us. He may correct us, which a lot of times he does, and it hurts, and I have to say, ouch. And then he protects us, and it's very important that all these elements come together of knowing who the good shepherd is, because all of these are very crucial in what a shepherd does, and ultimately what Jesus does for you and I. At this time, there was a questioning going on in the ninth chapter of the book of John. There was a questioning going on where there was a miracle that was just performed. The Pharisees were there. They were looking out saying, hey, this guy was proclaiming that he's the Son of God. He had just healed this person that was blind from his birth. And now they're sitting here questioning, thinking, this is crazy. This is crazy. They doubted and questioned everything that Jesus was doing. So it led us up to chapter 10 here in the book of John. And if you'll put our verse up there for us in chapter 10, 1 through 4 here in chapter 10. God is there. We go. It says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." So back in the days, there was a lot of shepherds. It's not common nowadays that we see a shepherd here and the sheep are out there. You just don't see that a lot in this country, okay? Or especially in this area. Okay, but back in the day, there was these shepherds that were leading their sheep, and they were feeding them, and they were protecting them, and they were watching over them. Well, there was a certain time where they just needed a break for themselves. So in this, and when it's talking about here, the doorkeeper here is representing God the Father, okay? He is the door into heaven, okay? God the Father is the doorkeeper into heaven, okay? Let's remember that. Okay, Jesus is representing the shepherd. Okay, so we got God the Father representing the doorkeeper, Jesus representing the shepherd, and guess who the sheep are? You and I. The sheep are you and I. So when Jesus starts out talking to the Pharisees here, he's actually, he's telling them that, okay, the doorkeeper is the Father. He's ultimately the one keeping the door into heaven. He is the Father. Jesus is the shepherd. We are the sheep. Let me give you some little tidbits about sheep, okay? So sheep, it's kind of like, sheep were so dumb that, and we'll start, sheep are pretty dumb. They're not very intelligent animals. And let me tell you what they used to do. There used to be, like if they were going through an area, if there was a ledge that was too small for them to go through, they'd go ahead and try to walk in between those ledge. And they'd keep on nudging and going and going and going and going. And they'd get wedged in between there. Instead of just backing up and going a different direction, they would continue on the path that they were and get lodged in there and ultimately die. Does that sound familiar to you guys? Sometimes you don't back up and go a different direction. This is the only time that you can do this. But you can look at your neighbor and say, man, we're just not very smart. We're not very smart. We're sheep, and we're simple-minded people that sometimes we'll get lodged in between things, and we just don't back up. We don't understand. We've got our minds so set. Yeah, this is the way it's supposed to be. This is the direction that we're supposed to go, and we'll get ourselves lodged in between things that will keep us from moving and going in any direction. And ultimately, spiritually, I've seen some people, and even myself in life, that spiritually you just kind of dry out. Nothing seems, you're not happy anymore. You're not happy serving. You're not happy coming to church. You're not happy in your marriage. You're not happy in your job. You're not happy at all because sometimes we take our eyes off what's the most important. Jesus is the good shepherd. Let me remind you of that this morning. He is the good shepherd. Here's something else unique, okay? Nowadays, have you ever seen over in the West how that they'll herd maybe their cattle and they'll have the dogs behind them and they'll herd those in and they'll get those to go a certain direction. That's why they'll herd those things in. Well, here's something that I want to make very important that you listen to this morning because this goes right along with everything. Jesus does not herd us. Jesus doesn't herd us like a bunch of cattle or a bunch of sheep. He doesn't herd his people and try to make them go a certain direction and make them do things. Says Jesus is the good shepherd and is up to us to listen and to follow. Jesus is the good shepherd. He's not going around herding his people to come into church, herding them. But he's saying, if you want to get to know me and get to know the Father, come this way. I'll show you where to go. He's not going to herd you and make you do anything. That's very important that you remember that this morning. Jesus isn't going to make you do anything, but it is a free choice. Man, choices in life are big. Choices are very important in life, but it's important that you remember that. Jesus walks in front of us. Isn't it good to know that we have a Savior that walks in front of us through seasons of life? There's times that my kids are crazy. Thank goodness for the Good Shepherd. There is times that I'm crazy. Thank goodness for the Good Shepherd. There is times that people around me at my workplace, which is Grant, are crazy. Thank goodness for the Good Shepherd. It's very important that we understand. Thank goodness for the Good Shepherd because he leads us through these seasons of life that we go through, the ups, the downs, the twists, the sideways, the backwards. He leads us in the directions that we need to go. I'm glad that he leads us. And here's Jesus is in front. If we don't keep our eyes on Jesus, we focus on the world. If we don't keep our eyes on the Good Shepherd, we're worried about everything else that's going on. What color paint are they going to put on the wall? Why is there a hole out in the parking lot? Who planted a tree on the right side of the church? When you take your eyes off the good shepherd, you start focusing on things that are irrelevant, that doesn't mean a thing at all, and does not help anyone to get to the kingdom of God. When you focus on the worldly things, or what so-and-so may said, or so-and-so did, or what, who's not coming, or they're living this way in their life, or I hear this and all the time. Well, they act this way in church, but they're this way out here in the world. Well, don't come to me and tell them. Call them out. Call them out. We as Christians, we're thinking, well, so-and-so, well, go and talk to that individual. If they're living in sin, talk to them. Say, listen, I'm just here to help you keep your eyes on the good shepherd. It's very important. So when we're looking at the good shepherd, man, that paint looks good. Man, I'm glad how the rooms look good, you know. The tree looks good outside. The grass, even though the blades were crooked, they still looks good. When you keep your eyes on the shepherd, none of that stuff matters. So-and-so may have cussed me out Thursday, but we're at church together today. They look good today. You see, when you keep your eyes on the focus on Jesus Christ being the good shepherd, things just don't seem so bad. My life doesn't seem so bad when I'm focusing on Jesus Christ. It's important that you and I focus on Jesus Christ and not the things that are around us. Jesus is the good shepherd. The shepherd calls, okay, and the sheep recognize a voice. Okay, let me give you an analogy here this morning. How in the world, okay, I'm taking all the chairs out of the sanctuary, and I'm filling the sanctuary with women. Yeah. Amen. You got an amen on that? With women that are talking. So this sanctuary is full of women that are talking. You fill the sanctuary with guys. We'll be watching SportsCenter, dude. We're not worried about it. Yeah, but with the women that are talking. Personally, if my wife's in here with that bunch and I walk in, how am I going to know where my wife is at? The shepherd, the sheep recognize the shepherd's voice. I'm going to listen for her voice. I'm going to listen, and that's going to lead me to where she is at. So here's the important thing this morning. If you're not listening to the shepherd's voice and what he's doing, there's either two things. Either you don't know him, or you're not spending enough time with him. Thank goodness if I walked in the room and my wife was talking and she was talking loud enough, I'd be able to hear her voice because I know her and I spend a lot of time with her. You see how that we as sheep, sometimes we say, well, I don't recognize when Jesus is talking to me. I don't recognize that it's the shepherd's voice. On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, how much time are you spending with him? How much time are you dedicating in the God's word and praying and asking for his anointing on your life? How often are you doing that? I don't recognize God. He's not here in my trouble. Are you spending time with him? Are you praying? Are you being everything that God has called you to be? It's important that we spend time with the good shepherd. When you don't spend time with the good shepherd, like I said, you just don't recognize his voice a lot of times. You need to spend time with him, or you just don't know him this morning. And it's important that you get to know the good shepherd. It's important that daily you understand that this thing right here is your roadmap. That you get into that and read it and listen for the voice of God. Next scripture, please. John 10:5 says this. It says, a stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Here's something this morning. There's a lot of voices out there, okay? I hear a lot of voices sometimes. And you're like, man, you're crazy. I hear a lot of voices sometimes. And as I get older, I don't hear as many voices as I used to hear, especially the ones saying you need to take out the trash. It's caused my hearing. But there's a lot of voices out there. And where this is going is there's a lot of strange voices out there that are going out to us individually as people. Let me give you an example. I've heard the world say that there's multiple ways to get to God. We like to live in a world where everybody thinks that there's multiple ways. If you don't like this way, you can go this way. And if you don't like that way, you can go this way. Well, I'm here to tell you that that is false. And in John 14:6, here's what Jesus himself said. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." There isn't multiple ways in to get into heaven. There isn't multiple ways to get saved. There isn't multiple ways to get to know the Father. There's one way, and it's Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. That's the only way. If you're trying anything else out, it's going to lead you somewhere astray, and you'll ultimately pass away and not get to go rejoice into heaven. But the only way to get to heaven is through the Good Shepherd. Jesus is the only way. The Bible teaches us that. So if someone is trying to convince you, well, I'm just trying to convince you. No, Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. Here's another one. I've been confronted with this before. Love means to accept. Love means to accept that I'm a drunkard, I'm an alcoholic, I'm a drug head. Love means to accept. That's false. That is false. Love does not mean to accept, because in 1 Corinthians 13 it says this: love rejoices in truth. Love rejoices in truth. I think as a church we have failed so often because we're afraid to speak truth into people's life because we are going to offend them. We're afraid to speak truth. Well, there's a way to come about it. I don't mean go barreling down and beating their door down and tell them they're all going to die and go to hell if they don't come to church this Sunday. I'm not saying that. Okay? I'm saying if someone has an issue in their marriage and you see it, go speak truth to them. I'm saying if someone has an issue with drugs, go speak to them. If someone has an issue with alcohol, go speak to them. Speak truth into their lives. They may not like it, but that doesn't mean that you accept, oh, I just accept that they're like that. No, speak truth into their lives. If someone is lost and dying to go to hell, speak truth into their life. Tell them that there is a good shepherd and only one shepherd that is leading us to heaven, and only through and by Jesus Christ, him willing to come and to die for us, is the only way that we can make it to heaven. There's no other way but through Jesus. Love does not mean just to tolerate. Love means to tell them the truth and rejoice in that. John 10:7-9 says, "So Jesus said to them again, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pastures.'" Jesus is the only way. Jesus is eternal life. Jesus is the door. Okay, so he goes from referencing himself with the Pharisees here, that the doorkeeper being God the Father, him being the shepherd, us being the sheep, to saying, guess what? I am the door. I'm the shepherd. I'm the door. You better follow me. There ain't no other way in. The only way to get eternal life is to come through and by me. That is it. So come and follow him. It's okay to have fun and to think all of these crazy thoughts that are going out there that our teenagers are drowned in false doctrine. They're drowned in this world that wants to tell them, oh, just be accepting, just do this. I'm telling you, Jesus is the only way. If you want true love, if you want true conviction, if you want true life and true abundance, you're going to have to go through Jesus. If you want to be happy at church, in your marriage, at your job, with your self-esteem, you're going to have to go through Jesus. Jesus is the only way. He is the truth. Jesus is the door to eternal life. John 10:10 says this: "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." that they may have life and have it abundantly. Okay, teenagers, this is I want to let all of our other teenagers know, our youth, our teenagers. The second Sunday of every month, we've challenged our youth group to set together right here the second Sunday, second service of every month. Okay, we challenge them to do that. It's important that we worship. Now, I'm going to tell you this morning, Satan is a liar, okay? He's a liar. Any time that you're sitting and talking with Satan is a bad idea. He does not care about you. He doesn't care about your life. He doesn't care about your friends. He doesn't care about what you make on your test. He does not care about what you wear. He don't care about your looks. Satan does not care about you. He is a liar, and he wants to destroy you. Parents, grandparents, individuals here this morning, Satan does not like you. If you find yourself sitting and having a powwow with Satan, I encourage you to back up. Don't get lodged in between the two cliffs, but back up and look and follow the Good Shepherd. Oftentimes we focus on all the things that Satan is saying in our life instead of really focusing on the Good Shepherd. Satan wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your relationship. He wants to destroy your faith. He wants to destroy your job, your self-esteem. Satan is bad. He's bad. Do not listen to him. But in the second part of this, it said Jesus came to bring life and to bring it more abundantly. A lot of people say, well, I get Jesus. That means I'm going to be rich. And woo! It's not what that means. Doesn't mean you find Jesus, you become rich, and life is hunky-dory, and you go skipping down the yellow brick road. Doesn't mean that at all. Doesn't mean things are going to be easy. Doesn't mean that you'll get the right job. Doesn't mean your relationships will be perfect. What it does mean is that if you keep your eyes on Jesus Christ, through those trials and through those tribulations and through those struggles, there will be abundant life in you. You will be able to look through Jesus' eyes and see joy in your spouse, see joy in your job, see abundance in your relationship, see abundance in the things that are going on in life. Jesus allows these things to go on. He's the shepherd, he's the door, and man, he wants to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. Jesus wants us to rejoice. He wants us to be happy. And the only way to be truly happy in life, and it's not money or a job or a relationship with a human being, but it is a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that will truly make you have a good life and live it to abundance, is having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. It says here in John 10, 12 through 15, it says, he who is the hired hand and not a shepherd, he is not the owner of the sheep, says, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. It says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Strangers do not care about you. The hired hand does not care about you. When troubles come in your life, where are those best friends? When things are happening in your marriage, where are those best friends? When you lose your job, where are those best friends? A lot of times they'll just say, hey, I'm praying for you. That's the end of the story. I'm praying for you. Show people that you love them. The hired hand, when troubles come, the hired hand leaves, okay? You're on your own. Know that the good shepherd is not like a hired hand. He's not going to leave you astray. He's going to guide you in the direction that you need to go. He's going to put you in a place where you can, what the scripture said, find pastors. He's going to put you in a place where you're able to see the good out of every situation in life. Jesus is the good shepherd, and he's willing to die for his sheep. He is the willing sacrifice, willing to die for you and I. And John 10:16 says this. John 10:16 says, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. Here's what that means. It means there was Gentiles and there was Jews back in the Bible, okay? It was talking about there are Gentiles out there that I must go to and tell them about the way of having true life. Okay, in Jesus' eyes, he does not see color. He does not see gender. He does not see the good and the bad and this and that and who. Well, I'll get this one, but I won't get this one. Jesus puts us together as one body in Christ, okay? We are one church, we are one flock, and we need to work together because that's what Jesus does. He brings people together. He is the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. You know, also in this, a lot of people, they can get the notion that people say a lot of times, and you know what people say, well, I'm the way that I am because that's the way God made me. I'm just that way because that's the way God. Quit blaming Jesus. Quit blaming Jesus for you being an alcoholic. Quit blaming Jesus for you being a drug head. Quit blaming Jesus for you cussing out somebody on Facebook. Quit blaming Jesus for you going and starting all these rumors and stuff. Quit blaming Jesus for that stuff. Jesus gets a bad rap. They get a bad rap. Well, this is the way that God made. No, you made a choice to make the choices that you've made in life because you made that choice. I'm a follower of Jesus because I made the choice when he was calling me out to follow him. Nobody made me. They didn't herd me up. Jesus is not going to herd his flock. Okay, but he's going to guide them in the right direction so they can find green pastures. So they can have a place where they have life and have it more abundantly. So stop blaming Jesus for your life being the way that it is. But look to him for guidance and knowing that he's going to lead us in the right direction. John 10:17-18 says, for the reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. Don't let the world tell you that they killed Jesus. The soldiers didn't kill Jesus. They didn't hang him on a cross. Okay, Jesus went willingly, okay? He says in the scripture here that the Father above gave him authority to come and to lay down his life for you and I. They didn't make Jesus do anything, just like Jesus won't make us do anything. But Jesus willingly laid down his life so that you and I might be free. So that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus laid down his life so that we might have life. Who gave him that authority? God gave him that authority. Jesus laid down his life. There's a lot of things in life that go on, okay? But understand ultimately that Jesus is the good shepherd. He loves you. He's going to guide you. He's going to protect you. He's going to provide for you. He's going to do the things that he needs to do so that you might go and find green pastures. There's things that happens in life many a times. There's things that go on in life that absolutely get us down. But Jesus is the good shepherd. Let me take you back into chapter 9. Okay, so in chapter 9, there was a man. He was born blind. Okay, he was born blind. He'd never seen before. Never seen before. So Jesus comes along and asks him a question. Jesus asks him a question. Ooh, it got loud. So he said, after Jesus asked him a question, you know, who do you think I am? Okay, what am I? And in John 9:38 said this. He said, Lord, Jesus said, do you believe? He said, Lord, I believe. And it said, and he worshipped him. The Pharisees thought he was crazy. You know, we're in two categories. We're either we believe and worship him, or we think that this is crazy. Do I believe everything that Jesus is telling me? Do I believe him, everything that he's telling me? Jesus is the good shepherd. You have a choice this morning whether to believe and worship him or to say like the Pharisees, man, this guy is crazy. This guy is crazy. So they went into the chapter 10 here saying, this guy is crazy. The Pharisees said, this guy is crazy. So he laid out their life for them. We got any organ yet? Ha! There it is. There's something about the piano that just sets the tone just right. There's something about listening, meditating, and understanding that Jesus is the good shepherd. He guides, he provides, he corrects, and he protects. He is the good shepherd. Adam Hawkins, come here for a second. I need you to come here, brother. Got a little something for you to do. All you have to do is just stand here and I'll give you all the instructions, okay? I know that's what you do when your wife comes. She say, yeah, you just listen to what I say and I'll instruct you.
I trust her a little.
You trust her? Well, we'll see how much you trust me. All right, shut your eyes there, okay? Okay, you can't see anything, can you?
No.
Okay, you can't see anything. Okay. Remember, Jesus guides, okay? Guides, provides, corrects, protects. Jesus guides us. So Adam, hang on just a second. You stay right there, buddy. Adam, I need you to walk around the sanctuary for me, please. Okay, begin to walk around the sanctuary. Go to the right a little. Go to the left. Walk straight. You're online. Guys, pay attention to this. Go to the right. Go to the right. Go to the right. Stop. Do you see how I was left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right? I'm telling you, you need to shut your eyes every once in a while, okay? But like we said when we started the sermon this morning, Jesus does not herd you at all. Do you see when you become a people that someone is herding you along, how you're always focused on the left and the right? You're always going left, right. Somebody needs to say, hey, go back a little to the right. Hey, go back a little to the left. It's a constant back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But watch this. Let's go. Come on. Do you see when the shepherd follows and when you're following the shepherd and he's guiding, how much easier the task is? Because pretty much what I can do, he may be going through a hard time in his life. Okay? But if he's got the shepherd guiding him, guess what? He's going to make it every step of the way. Look, I can even... Oh, the shepherd turns around. He guides, provides, corrects, and protects. You've got the blindfold on. Stop being herded by this world. But be guided and guided by the good shepherd. How much easier life would be if you'll just reach out there and grab Jesus' hand. All these troubles that you're going through, you're looking good at them. All these troubles that we go through. And sometimes I've had to do it before, and you guys know as well you have too. Sometimes you just bow and just shut your eyes and say, Jesus, just help me. Just help me. And here comes the good shepherd walking through. Grab you by the hand and lead you exactly where that you need to go. Thank you, Adam. So let me tell you this morning, that God's going to give an invitation. He's going to give an invitation, okay? And watch this. In Psalms 23, look what Psalms 23 says, okay? Psalms 23. I'm just going to read the first couple of verses here for you, okay? It says, the Lord is my what? Shepherd. I shall not want. He provides everything. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Well, guess what? Here's the good thing about this. Picture this. Green pastures. These are where sheep like to go because they could eat. It was fine. He provides a way for me to get to the green pasture. When my job stinks, guess what? Jesus is the door. I walk through it and say, boom, he provides green pastures. When my marriage is not going right and things are struggling in my marriage, guess what? He's the door. I walk through. He provides green pastures. When I'm struggling with my relationship and my identity and who I am and who I'm not, guess what? Jesus will guide you. He is the door. You'll step into that and he provides green pastures. It doesn't matter what struggle or trial or what your family's doing or what you've been addicted to, knowing that the good shepherd is there to provide green pastures for you. And guess what? The Lord is our shepherd. I shall not want for anything. Makes me lie down in green pastures. What a beautiful picture this morning to knowing he's providing everything for you. You may lose your job this week, but with the good shepherd, there'll be green pastures. You may fight with a coworker this week. Guess what? With the good shepherd, there'll be green pastures. You may say, well, I just don't know who I am. I don't have a relationship. I don't know who I am. Or in my mind, I think that I'm this person. This is what I think that I'm this. Well, knowing that if you trust in the good shepherd and you walk through that door, he provides green pastures. Sometimes we need to put the blindfold on and shut our eyes to the world. And knowing that there's an abundance of life out there through Jesus Christ. Do you know the Good Shepherd this morning? Are you spending enough time with the Good Shepherd? He guides, provides, he corrects, and he protects. If you don't know him this morning, this would be an awesome morning for you to come down. Say, I just want to follow Jesus. I just want to follow Jesus. Or maybe you say, I know Jesus, but I'm being herded around. I'm being herded around by things of this life. I'm being herded around by people. And I want to follow the good shepherd again and get back on the right path. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're going through a struggle like that. This morning, as God gives the invitation, he may be speaking to you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that you've blessed us with. Lord, we're all in need of a good shepherd. We're all in need of guidance. Because, Lord, life just happens sometimes, and it's a struggle to understand the reasons why things happen. But we know that through and by you and following the good shepherd and keeping our eyes on you, Lord, that you'll lead us into green pastures. That you'll protect us, that you'll correct us, and that you'll provide for us. Lord, there may be individuals here this morning that doesn't know you, that needs salvation, needs a relationship with you. I pray that they could just reach their hand up and follow you. There may be others here this morning, Lord, that struggling, feel like they're being herded around by this world. But Lord, we know that you will lead them to find good green pastures. We love you this morning, Lord, and we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us. As you speak to our hearts, help us to respond to your calling. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll stand. if you'll listen, respond to what God is telling you to do this morning.